Stand for today's reading. Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 11, or page 807 in the Bibles provided on the chairs. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You may be seated. Children may go to children's church.
The reality is there are just some jobs that are less popular than others. For instance, many of you will probably go out to eat at a restaurant today after church. Not many of you want to be a short order cook at a restaurant. People love having their trash picked up. And in fact, when our trash is not picked up, we will let someone know. We all like our buildings clean. We wish we could afford maid service. When we go to work at the office, we want the janitors to have their work done. I've never seen one high school student say, I want to be a janitor. You can change the name to custodian. You're still doing the work of a janitor. And it's hard work. I've never been a cook. I've never been a waiter. But I have been a janitor. Well, this story is about a young lady named Joanna up there. And they're immigrants to the United States. Her dad got sick and her mom had to take multiple jobs to help support the family. Well, Joanna ended up going to medical school, and the very same school where she was going as an intern or resident, her mom was the janitor. And this is a picture of Joanna and her mom. Not many of us think that we'll be enriched by janitors, but the work that her mom did will not only enrich her daughter Joanna, because it allows her to go to school, but it will enrich the lives of everyone that her daughter touches in the medical field and those who are ill. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today as we come before you. Lord, we had songs of grace this morning. Father, we are in deep need of your grace as we live out our lives as Christian. And your grace is given to us in order that we may share it with others, enrich the lives of those around us. Lord, let us be generous in every way, sharing the grace you've given to us with those around us. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen and amen. Honestly, everyone knows nothing happens without giving. Joanna could be the first to tell you that if her mom hadn't gave and sacrificed, she would not be in medical school. Reading from 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 1, it writes, there's no need for me to write you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia, we're ready to give. Your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonian comes with me and finds you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly gives. 2,000 years ago, Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians about a great gift. And he's talking about how this gift is needed. Then as now, it's hard to get anything done in this world without money. You see, money doesn't make one holy. It doesn't make one unholy. But I can tell you, it will show us all what we believe. Because what we really believe in, we will give our money, our time, and our effort to that cause. We can talk about something, but you show me your calendar and your checkbook, and I'll know what you care about. You'll know what I care about. Giving financially, your time, your volunteer hours, your effort is a huge part of your life, or should be. What if I was to look at a life and it was always self-centered? I'm all into vacations. What if that's all it was? Sometimes I can imagine, and I'm picking on celebrities because none of you here are celebrities. It's easy to do. And they're standing before God on Judgment Day. Oh, you went to Cancun, to Europe, a shopping spree in Japan, gourmet food. Oh, I see here that you did a PSA on public radio for a charity. And you threw a couple $100 at it. And then you went back to a shopping spree in France. Beautiful Italian leather shoes. And is that dress 100% silk? Custom made? Giving is a huge part of life, or it should be. Now, I was making fun of celebrities. Unfortunately, probably a lot of what I said is true. There are often, or there probably is, numerous celebrities who give huge amounts of their time and effort, and we know nothing about it. Thank God for them. Oftentimes we think, well, someday when I hit the jackpot at work or the lottery or inheritance, I'll give. And actually, that is contrary to reality. Arthur Brooks, a social scientist, professor of management practice at Harvard Business School, first says this: people who are religious give more across the board, not only to religious causes, but to non-religious charities as well. Giving's a big part of Christianity. Second, charity isn't a rich person's activity. Let me read that again, what Arthur Brooks says. Charity is not a rich person's activity. The working poor give a greater proportion or percentage of their income than the middle or upper classes. Well, you can say, well, it's a percentage, so of course it's going to be bigger. But think about it. Even if it's a percentage, if you're the working poor, you have a lot less disposable dollars on hand. Going out to Arby's is probably a sacrifice. So whether it's a percentage or not, Arthur Brooks shows that giving is not a matter of the amount of money you have. Volunteering your time is not a matter of how much leisure time you have. Giving is an issue of the heart. Because we all know, without money, without people, without service, without dedication, not much will happen. And God here in these verses calls us to be enriched in every way so we may enrich others. In verse 6, remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever plants only a little will get little in return. And whoever plants a lot will get a lot. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. This section of 2 Corinthians, week after week, has been about giving. Giving in every kind of way. And of course, that involves the church. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You need to find a church, if this isn't it, and you're sitting here, you need to find a church you can give to. I've known people who go to a church they'd rather not give to. I personally say you need to switch churches. Sometimes in smaller communities, that's a little harder because of family dynamics. I'd rather go someplace that I'd like to give. I tend to volunteer at organizations that I support. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. You can pretty much guess if you check my checkbook, my electronic giving, I don't give to North American atheists. And they don't give to Grace Fellowship Church. This section is a lot about giving, and money's a big part of it. Your time and effort's a big part. Now, we're not on the bartering economy, so if you want to give to your church, bring in a pig or some chickens, be nice. It doesn't work that way. We need cash. We do. We have a budget. Every year we have an annual meeting. And we as a church cannot exist without your giving. But it also goes more than just giving to your church. It is a lifestyle of giving. This section of Corinthians is about giving. One church was helping out those in need, those people, and that needs to be done, but it is about a whole lifestyle of giving. And it says, you reap what you sow in money and life. Now, there's always outliers. There'll always be some examples of people who never give and they win the lottery. And then, of course, what do we say? That's not fair. The Psalms are full of things like that. Lord, why are the evil blessed? But God says in the end, all things will be made right. But generally, you reap what you sow in money and in life. In fact, if you're a negative, stingy person, my guess, your life is probably pretty negative and sad and depressed. If you're a cheerful, upbeat person, my guess is your life and those you're around are upbeat and they see that in you. See, and it doesn't always depend on circumstances. That's my problem personally. When things go good, I'm happy. Duh. When the washing machine leaks, the plumbing sewer backs up, yeah, I don't say praise God, hallelujah. Maybe you do. God bless you. I wish I was more like you. And there's people that are like that. If you remember the newsletter, I think it was October, September, there was an Ethiopian businesswoman named Marion. She was a family of four. She had gotten saved. She had witnessed to her family. They'd become believers. And then as the oldest sibling, she had opened up a clothing boutique to support her family. And then her clothing store was broken into, probably indicated because she was a Christian and these were anti-Christian people, robbed her and broke her store. And you know what she said? My prayer life increased, my Christian beliefs, my foundation grew. What are you, a crazy woman? She goes, my faith grew, my prayer life grew. I can't explain it. In a way, I think I can. She realized her deep dependence on God and our overall need to look at Him through all circumstances and trust in Him. When I read that letter, I have to look in the mirror. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit in the same manner. It's difficult. Reading that article was difficult. It was a challenge to our faith. And he goes on in verse 7. And each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. And let me kind of just be real blunt with this. The purpose here isn't that if you're a grump, you get out of it. The thing here is, if you're a grump, you need to change. You know, some people say, let's just talk about the elephant in the room. All you pastors do is talk about giving. Hey, I didn't write the book of 2 Corinthians. I didn't write the Bible. Your complaint isn't about me. Your complaint is with Jesus Christ. I'm just the messenger. We are called to be cheerful givers. We are to change our hearts. Look what Marion did. Her boutique, her career, her, her means of living are taken away. And she goes, my faith has grown. And we are called to be the same cheering givers. And in verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We're called to give out, to bless others. God blesses us so that in all things, we will abound in every good work. Again, can you imagine some of these celebrities are very wealthy people? On Judgment Day, God's like, I gave you all this and you did what? I mean, in some ways, I'm glad I'm not rich. What would I do with that money? Would it go to my head? Would I spend it all on lavish vacations? And I'm not against vacations. On lavish cars? And I'm not against nice cars. But I don't know, when you have a garage of 5 and they're all filled with high-end cars where most of us here in this church couldn't afford the spark plugs. I mean, some of these cars have $100 spark plugs. I mean, imagine standing before God. I gave you all this. And you did what? And God is able to bless you abundantly. And then some of us say, well, thank God I don't have much. But see, God, doesn't matter where you're at. He calls us to live a lifestyle of giving. In fact, Arthur Brooks makes a statement. Charity is not limited to those who just receive the services. So when we think of charity, we think about the people who are blessed. He goes, on the contrary, charity unleashes substantial benefits to the givers themselves. He did studies and he said that you'd think the way to increase output is to increase your income. And he goes, it seems like it's oddly different that as people give more, they tend to get more. As an economist, he just really didn't expect that. As Christians, we see that as the hand of God. In verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. They were enriched not just for themselves. And we'll kind of end on this issue, the poor and poverty. But they gave out. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that's God who gives so we can plant, will supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. God will give you more so that you can give out. And this isn't just about being rich for the sake of being rich. It's just not about money. It's about advancing the kingdom of God. His righteousness. For His glory. For His ministry. We are called to be about His business. I talked a few weeks ago about the talents. It was never about the amount. It's what they did with it. Because the 5 talents, and I can't remember, we think of that, well, that's a lot of money. Yeah, millions of dollars. So even the guy at the low end of the totem pole had hundreds of thousands, let alone maybe even a simple $1 million. And we think, oh, he only had the 1 talent. The 1 amount of money. Lots and lots of money. And it's to be used. God likes us to enjoy life. Okay? He's not a fuddy-duddy. He wants us to enjoy things. He doesn't want you to have to get up in the morning and worry, like some of us do, will my car start? We go through those stages in life. We do. He wants to bless us. And some people are blessed more than others. And don't ask me why. But He blesses us. But it's to advance the kingdom first. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's about material blessing. It is. You can't deny that. It's about money, giving money. About God blessing you in return. But it's about what you do with that blessing. Enriching others. Are we generous? Are we generous with the blessing God gives us? I believe, not just as a pastor, as a Christian, as one who reads Scripture, that we'll all be held in account for how we spent our money, how we spent our time, how we spent our efforts, what we did with what God gave us. And, you know, if you're like me, you're going to say probably, well, that's not fair. I think when we stand before God, we're going to realize it was all fair. And do we understand it? No. And we're going to say, well, Lord, what about them? And God's like, I'm going to talk to them later. Right now, I'm talking to you, Doug. And I'll be held accountable for what I did with the resources and blessings, difficulties of life. Just like Marion, the difficulty of life and how she dealt with it. Joanna's mom, her husband gets ill. She has to have multiple jobs. She becomes a janitor. And how she did with what, excuse me, and what she did with her life to give her daughter a better life. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supporting the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We're not only called to be joyful givers, we are called to live a life of thanksgiving. You can go to psychology today, you can go to medical research, and people who are thankful for what they have, no matter how little or how much. And there's a lot of people I know who have a lot, who are very, very unthankful and want more. And I've seen people who have very little, and I'm amazed at their thankful heart. But people who have a thankful heart, regardless of the Christians, are much nicer people to be with on Monday morning. They are. They're nice people. They're nice people to be with at Thanksgiving dinner. They're just the people you want to kind of be around. They're a blessing. They're thankful. A thankful heart overcomes depression, anxiety, poor health. Having a thankful heart, as the Lord calls us to, will bless us in more ways than we'll ever imagine. And think about the people it blesses around you. Think about the people you like to hang around with. It is a joy and a privilege to be around a thankful, uplifting person. It takes people. I said it takes money. It takes effort. God has called us to be enriched in every way. And then we come together as people because everything happens in relationships. Look how this ends. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others, yourself, others, will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. People coming together in the name of Jesus Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone, people, yourselves, others, everyone, and in their prayers, for you in their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Money, time, effort, the Lord's enrichment, it calls people together. And I always say this, everything happens in relationships. When you're the new person at work, it's hard to get anything done. Once you've been there a while and you know people, you know who to talk to, you know how to get things done. People just tend to respond better to people they know. And God has called us to come together as believers to enrich others, to have a thankful and joyous heart, living out the blessings to whatever level God is giving us. See, money and hard work are necessary to end poverty. It talked about blessing the poor. Money, it just takes money. It takes hard work. And you know, there's an ingredient that the government doesn't give you. Relationships. It's very difficult to truly end poverty, to help the poor, without relationships. In fact, sometimes I would say it's almost like throwing money in a black hole. It takes people coming together, using the blessing God has given us. I'm not against government programs. I just think they have a limitation and do not offer what people do. Not just accountability, and that's important, but true friendship, true mentoring, true coming alongside someone and helping them. I remember one time working with Genesis, that is our benevolence ministry here in town, and there was an elderly couple, and they had come in for food and needed some money with their electric bill, And I was talking with the director. I can't remember if it was Linda or Pat at the time. And I was worried because things just didn't add up. And I was worried, like, you know, we can't help, but if we pay their electric bill, this couple's in their 80s. They're just going to be back next week. And, you know, what's going on here? I mean, is it they don't know what they're doing? Are they trying to manipulate us? Are they having a cognitive decline? They need a payee, a third person to come in. So I asked if, you know, if she could meet with them. I wasn't able to, and she did. And you know what it was? They had signed up for one of those free 6 months of cable. You know what happens after the and you know what happens after the free 6 months? It's $200 a month. That's a lot of money for anyone. And if you're 80 and kind of on your fixed income, that'll just swamp you. We took care of it. We made some calls. We got it canceled. And they were okay. Because we cared. We met with them. It took people. We are enriched in every way so that we can enrich others. People involved with people. Everything happens in relationships. I am enriched in every way because of this church and the blessing it is. And I hope I can enrich you in every way. I am enriched in every way because of my wife and my children. And I hope I can be an enrichment to them. You see, Joanna's mother realized what it would take to enrich her daughter's life. And her being in the medical field, and maybe she'll go back to the country she came from, maybe she'll stay in the United States, and she will enrich others in ways that her mother could never imagine, that you'd never think a janitor would be capable of. But we don't know. But her taking that job, working at the same place. When that picture went viral, and Joanna posted that picture of her and her mom, and went viral because people are like, that's what enrichment is all about. I don't know their Christian beliefs, but that's the heart of Jesus Christ. Enriching others, not even knowing how it will enrich ourselves and others. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, let us take these examples given. Joanna, and her mother being a janitor for her. Marian being thankful in all circumstances. And Lord, empowered by your Holy Spirit, let us live with such character, being enriched in every way by what you've given us so that we can enrich those around us. Father, we thank you for what you've given us. And Lord, those who are going through difficult and struggling times, more of what Marian went through when her boutique was shattered and broken down. Lord, let us look to you for our joy and hope. And Lord, let it strengthen our faith in you through those difficulties, that we would lean on you even more through these difficulties, knowing, Lord, that your enrichment is often in ways we cannot understand or see, but it is always by your grace and by your power in our faith in Jesus Christ. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. As we close today, we'll close in prayer and song. The prayer rails are open on each side. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, to live a life calling Jesus to be your Lord and you to be his disciple, that he would enrich you not just for your own personal gain, but Lord, use me as your servant and disciple to enrich others. Pray with me today or reach out online as we close in prayer and song.
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I worth the living just because he lives.
From Romans 12:13, share with God's people in need, practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Let us go in peace, sharing God's love, making disciples. Amen and amen.